It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Buck Sexton Show. Jarrett Stepman, my man, he is with us now. He is the author of The War on History, The Conspiracy to Rewrite America's Past. Jarrett, great to see you. I can see the book behind you. So tell me this, my friend. What did General Schuyler do to deserve all of the hate up in Albany, New York recently that he was getting? What happened here? I thought Schuyler was tied in with Hamilton's family or something, right? Isn't this how this all went down? Tell me what's going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. It's to see General Philip Schuyler, who was a general during the American Revolution, to have his statue taken down in Albany, which is, of course, the capital of New York. Schuyler was, in fact, tied to Alexander Hamilton. He was his father-in-law, was one of the more prominent men of New York during that time. He was instrumental during the Saratoga campaign of creating the defenses at that time, which is how he became so prominent as a general. And at one time, he was very well thought of. He was a prominent member of New York. He was one of the big families. Being tied to Alexander Hamilton was something that the family was very much proud of. The state was very much proud of him. He's been a fairly uncontroversial figure and a pretty prominent one until quite recently when it was discovered that, well, he owned a few slaves during his lifetime. So therefore, all of his accomplishments are null and void. And his statue had to be removed from the front of the Albany State Capitol because people may have been offended by the fact that he at one point had owned slaves. So his statue was dragged off kind of almost in the middle of the night by a truck. There was very little fanfare. There was very little public discussion about whether or not people were actually offended in the community. They simply removed the statue, got rid of it, done away with. Again, of course, many of the arguments about taking down statues and figures of America's past revolved around whether or not they were Confederates or something along those lines. Of course, Schuyler was in no way a Confederate whatsoever. He was tied to the American Revolution, at one time considered a great patriot that could be celebrated by all Americans. Now he's gone, and now we have no record of him or his statue in front of the state capitol.
So I just need to understand what the rules are, because if being a figure from the Revolutionary War era in America and having any connection to slavery, having owned slaves at any number at any point in time, is enough to get your statue torn down, we got some problems with the founders, don't we, right? Like, what happens to George Washington and Thomas Jefferson?
Yeah, what happens to Washington, D.C.? What happens to Benjamin Franklin? I mean, yes, he did release his slaves at some point, but is that good enough? It doesn't seem to be good enough for those who want to destroy our past. So, yeah, we're basically going to have to cut through all the founders. The capital city is going to have to be renamed. They're going to have to be names across the country that are changed and done away with. And, of course, I think there are a number of people who would be very happy if that took place. But this really gets to the heart of the criticism of America, its history, our founding itself, this idea that because it was linked to ideas and things that, again, we today obviously reject. We are happy that institutions like slavery are gone largely because of the philosophy of the founding fathers. But because those flaws existed in our founding, that means we have to effectively erase our history, or somebody somewhere will be offended. And we'll decide that they may either officially try to take down a statue or remove a name, or they may do so with a mob, as we saw in 2020, where we saw people actually go after figures in history and statues to try to take them down themselves.
It's remarkable. You know, there's also been recently some situation. Tell us about this. Robert E. Lee's, his horse, Traveler, there was a marker at the grave of Robert E. Lee, Civil War Confederate general, of his horse that was messed with. What happened here?
This is really quite remarkable. Traveler, his horse that was sort of famous during the war and after, it was his favorite horse, was there at the Washington and Lee University. They buried his horse on the grounds. Recently, they decided that the plaque to this horse, you know, the racist horse, had to be removed because it referenced the fact that it was tied to Robert E. Lee, one of the men who was responsible for the existence of that college. He was the first president of Washington and Lee when it became a prominent university after the Civil War. Lee served in a civilian capacity trying to rebuild the country after the terrible Civil War. Traveler was a well-known horse. People came to put apples by the grave and was very much beloved. But as we've seen with the iconoclasts of our moment, that's not good enough. And it doesn't matter if it's simply a horse. This is some symbol of America's horrible, terrible past that needs to be taken down. So they actually cracked up the statue. They removed it and tore it out from its place that existed there on Washington and Lee campus. And it's certainly something that should be asked, is how long the school of Washington and Lee will continue to exist with its name. Certainly Lee is going to be checked off the list very soon. You know, how soon is it going to be Washington as well? I would say not very, I would say quite soon, quite frankly.
So you wrote a great book, The War on History, which people should get a copy of if they don't have it already. Why are they waging this war on American history? Why is the left seeking to truly tear down, physically, literally tear down, in the case of some of the statues and monuments? What's this all about?
I think they see the American project, the Constitution, the American people, as a major impediment to their ideas and their plans. I think that that is what a large part of this is. America stands for many traditional values. It stands for a limitation on government and limitation on power. It stands for many traditional ideas that they find repugnant. And so I think their aim is to, of course, one, associate America with all terrible things. Of course, outside the larger scope of history, you know, when you go after American history, you say, well, America has a legacy of racism. It has a legacy of slavery. Well, the whole world has a legacy of racism and slavery. What has made America different, of course, is that there are criticisms of those things, even from the beginning, even from that founding. Of course, we have things like the 1619 Project and other, I think, radical ideas that say that essentially, no, the entire point of the United States wasn't liberty, wasn't 1776. It was slavery and tyranny. And therefore, you should give us power. We're going to tear down all those good things that you thought were good, which were actually terrible. We're going to tear down those things and put something in its place. And I think that that is a large part of what this is. It's not a nerdy discussion about history or statues. It's about power. It's about power in our society. And it's about removing any symbol or notion of traditional ideas that have, I think, built this country and have made this country great. It's about removing those from symbols of status in this country. And I think that the left, unfortunately, has been very successful in doing so.
I want to come back and ask you this question. I'll put it out to you now, Jared. You can answer it after our quick word from a sponsor here. But it's, what do they want to replace our history with? So hold that thought for a second. But few things stop you cold in your tracks, like your computer failing you, right? Or the thought that maybe you lost your laptop, right? That can also happen. So it's a huge stressor when that comes up. Or if you accidentally drop it, you crack it, you got a problem. Someone spills liquid all over. That happened to my roommate in college. He spilled beer all over his laptop and it never worked again. So what can you do? I mean, if you got a lot of important stuff on there, if you got all your files, what happens when your computer goes kaput? Well, the good news is you can have iDrive and then you're good to go. At least all of your data is going to be safe because it can be backed up. Everything from your PC, your Mac, your iPhone, everything can be backed up online into servers for one cost and one account. This is a great company, iDrive. You got to check them out. For 8 years in a row, they've won PC Magazine's best cloud backup solution for everyone, consumers and businesses. You just need to have this in the background. It gives you peace of mind. And if something were to happen, your data is secure. It's good to go. iDrive is the easiest, most secure cloud backup solution. Plans start at less than $7 a month. Get 90% off that for your first year when you use my name, Buck, in your purchase process. That's iDrive, as in the letter iDrive.com. Use my name, Buck, for that 90% discount, iDrive.com. Okay, so Jared, if they want to tear our history down, what does the left plan to replace it with?
You know, I think there are many things. I think you have to look at the writings and the ethos of, for instance, Nicole Hannah Jones, who was the creator of the 1619 Project that became very famous, that was pushed by the New York Times, that now exists in schools across our country. Her mentor was an outright communist, and not just a communist, but a Stalinist. He thought that the United States was an evil country, is an evil institution that needed to be brought down. He said a lot of things that were, in fact, outright, defensive of Joseph Stalin, the Soviet dictator. I think that she has a very left-wing, I think, Marxist view of the world. I think that she wants to lay this country low. She wants to tear up its traditions and replace it with something more akin to her Marxist philosophy. But I think there are also a lot of liberals, just social liberals, who feel extreme guilt about this country's past, who have simply allowed those to criticize our country, tear it down, have offered no resistance, no defense of this country, because they feel embarrassed about this country. They think it really is just a racist, bigoted country that has no reason to be defended. I think what it's going to leave us with is a lot of radicals in power, people who want to control your life, who want to aggrandize themselves, and a lack of resistance in the institutions that were supposed to at one time defend what made this country great. Unfortunately, many of those institutions now work actively against it. I mean, you know, you talk about Harvard or Yale or the Ivy Leagues or any of the other elite institutions. They're no longer able to put up any kind of defense of what built this country, what even built those institutions themselves. And so I think this is a lot about gaining power and power over you and me and just regular Americans across this country, and reducing any kind of resistance, reducing, I think, the constitutional limits on power, and empowering them in society. And I think that's what a big part of this is. They have ideas of creating this revolution that's going to equalize things. Of course, they themselves will not actually surrender any of the power that they have personally. This is about controlling you and your life.
What do we know about some of these fights that have come up on a policy level? Florida is one example of this, with Governor Ron DeSantis and the pushback on a Black studies curriculum. Why is it that these days we're being told that there's a problem with teaching honest history? That's what they'll say. And then you look at this, you say, well, wait, how is critical race theory honest history if you're supposed to be talking about like the American Revolution or, you know, other periods in history? It seems like there's an infusion of ideology that's going through all of this now.
That's exactly what it is. That honest history line, which continues to be used over and over again, is quite remarkable given the fact that they themselves do not promote honest history when they're actually pressed to it. I mean, the 1619 Project had a number of flaws that they absolutely denied. It even got criticism from, which was funny, from even some socialists criticized it because it was just bad history in general. So I think there's that element to it. I think what it really is, it's about imposing an ideology on the American people. This really doesn't have anything to do with actual historical debates about the various peoples of the past and the arguments they had about structure of government. This is about power in the modern times. It's about imposing ideology on the American people, especially young people who don't maybe have a lot of knowledge about history anymore, about civics, something that's very much been lost in this country, where they're willing to accept, I think, a lot of radical ideas because they don't know any better. They don't know much about the founding. They don't know much about the history of the country or the world around us. They haven't been taught to have that kind of informed patriotism that I think existed for previous generations that's been lost in the newer ones and has been made us quite susceptible to a lot of radical ideas that have nothing to do with history, have nothing to do certainly with the truth. And I think this is really the problem of where we are. I think it's great to see states like Florida and hopefully many others finally battle back, especially on this issue of curriculum and what we're going to pass along to the next generations of Americans.
Are you a country music guy, Jared?
I do like some country music. I'm not a fan of all the new pop country music. But I do enjoy country music alongside a lot of other music.
So I wanted to ask you, you know, there's the fight over history, but there's also the fight over culture. And these things are very much intertwined. And you may have seen that Jason Aldean is getting a little bit of heat. We'll come back to this in just a second. They're saying that he has a song that is racist, I think is what they're claiming. The country music star. We'll talk about it. But, you know, something's in the works right now that could go down as the worst government power grab in history. According to very smart economist and author Dr. Nomi Prins, our financial system could soon spiral into chaos. She's speaking about a dangerous new program put forward by the Biden administration. This isn't about banning gas-powered cars, but a total ban on cash itself. She sees the launch of a new technology called FedNow. It's an attack on our cash, according to Dr. Prins, and also an attack on your privacy. May well affect your ability to spend your money when and how you see fit. Soon, something as simple as buying a cup of coffee may cause an alarm at the IRS. Huge changes are coming this summer, starting as early as this month. You should get all the facts and do what you can. Go to this website now, disappearingdollar.com. That's disappearingdollar.com. Go there, check it out at disappearingdollar.com. Paid for by Rogue Economics. All right, Jared, why are they having such a big problem with Try That in a Small Town, the Jason Aldean song?
Yeah, it's really amazing. And I loved his song, Fly Over States. I think it's a great patriotic song. But there's really a freak out going on right now with the left because of this song by Jason Aldean, which shows the various images of the protests and I would say the riots that took place in 2020. And the song has lyrics that say things like, well, we're not going to accept robbing a store or beating up a grandmother or talking about the crime that exists in a lot of big cities across this country. Some of those cities I've lived in, I've experienced. The song is basically about, hey, in our small town, don't try to do anything violent here. We don't accept that in small town America. I think it's actually a great message for the song. The way that the left has twisted this is to say that he's actually promoting violence in his song, that this is a pro-lynching song that some have said on the left. And this has actually prompted his music to be canceled on CMT. There's a lot of leftist celebrities, Sheryl Crow and many others, saying that this song is deeply inappropriate, that it's racist, that it's offensive. And so he's being canceled for this. And I think very much like the iconoclastic movement that's taken down statues in American history, I think they're going after Aldean. They're canceling an actual person, in this case, a country music star, for saying something that bucks the narratives that they want about America, which is that the 2020 riots were good and well, and that any opposition to them makes you a racist defending a country that's based on systemic racism.
It also seems perhaps a little crazy to say this, but I think it's true, or maybe it's just the observation sounds crazy when you say it out loud. I think that the left really has just developed a hostility for the notion of small town, like small town America, bad.
Yeah, it's this idea that, oh, those hillbillies in the small towns, they're just a bunch of bigots and know-nothings, and they're bad, and we should look upon them as bad. And anything that praises them or says something good about their lifestyle, we're against, and is in itself bigoted and racist. I think that's the mentality you have now. There's just this deep contempt, I think, an elite contempt of large swaths of America. I mean, most Americans do come from small towns. It's really amazing. You know, at one time in this country, there used to be kind of recognition, like, look, we like the cities, we like small towns, we like all parts of our country. There's something good and special about each one of those. But I think what you're getting from many of the elites in this country is this idea that it's funny. It's almost ironic, given this song about flyover states, about people kind of mocking the middle of the country. You know, as anybody who's been to large parts of the middle of the country, I think it's there are many wonderful places across this country from sea to shining sea. But there's a real contempt, I think, for a lot of Americans, maybe who haven't gone outside the confines of New York City or Los Angeles, for the people who live in those places, who they see as representative of many of the traditional views that they find utterly contemptible and want to destroy and eliminate, just like the statues.
Since I want to end this podcast on a positive note, Jared, although it's important we talk about these important issues, if you had to tell me, because you're a history guy, you've written a defense of history, you don't like when they destroy the history, your three best historical films all time, you get three, your three favorite history movies, right? So anything that is a historical piece, what are they?
Does that consider like a series too, like historical series?
Oh no, movies.
If I get only if I movies, get, just we're movies,
just movies, feature films, sir, feature films only.
Okay, so one, I love The Battle of Britain, which is just one of my favorite war movies. It's just like one of those great classics. A lot of great actors, a lot of great action. Another one is maybe a little off kilter. One is Ron by Akira Kurosawa, which I think is a great take on Shakespeare. It's actually King Lear. I highly suggest that people go back and watch the movie. It's a little less known in the United States, but it has some incredible action sequences on top of being Shakespeare. I think the last one is a personal favorite of mine, which is Tor, 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 which is about Pearl Harbor, which is one that I think I watched about 50 times when I was a kid, that I think is a great historical take on the attack on Pearl Harbor, of course, the day that will live in infamy, which is definitely heavy on the history, but has a lot of great scenes that, of course, use a lot of the planes and the actual things that were there in World War II at Pearl Harbor that I just found to be a great movie. It's historically accurate, and a lot of the technology that they used was accurate, too. It didn't rely on the modern CGI as much, that I don't like as much.
I got to tell you, I don't think I've heard of any of those movies before. So I learned something new doing the show with you today, my friend. Everybody should get a copy. I'll check out those movies. I'd say like Braveheart, Gladiator, you know, a little more. I do love Master and Commander. So apparently I'm a big Russell Crowe historical epic fan. Last of the Mohicans. But you have expanded my horizons, Mr. Stebbins. part of how you roll. I know that. Everyone should get a copy of The War on History. Jared, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes and their families since 9/11. Hero first responders and service members who serve our communities and our country. Those who die in the line of duty or are catastrophically injured. Veterans who fought for our nation's freedom only to return home, fall in tough times, and become homeless. Heroes like Buffalo, New York firefighter Jason Arno and his family. Arno was killed while protecting his community, battling a warehouse fire. He left behind his wife and a young daughter. In their darkest hour, Tunnel to Towers provided Arno's wife and daughter with a mortgage-free home. The foundation lifted a financial burden, enabling them to stay in the home where they made memories with their hero. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Support the families of America's greatest heroes. The families of fallen first responders like Jason Arno, plus Gold Star families with young children, catastrophically injured service members, and homeless veterans. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
to the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.